It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast. This is PowerMizzou.com publisher Gabe DeArmond. And yes, Missouri plays Tennessee, and yes, there are still football games going on and all that, but what fun are football games when we can talk about the soap opera that is college football's coaching carousel? It's honestly, it's my favorite time of the year every year, and nobody knows it better than Scott Roussel, footballscoop.com. Scott, appreciate you taking some time. I know it's a crazy time of year. How you doing today?
I'm really happy to be on. I think you're a very sick man for saying it's one of your favorite times of the year, but that's okay.
Well, it's one of my favorite times of the year because I've been covering Missouri for 13 years and I haven't had to actually be directly involved in it. So maybe it's different now that I will be.
There you go. Understood. But you're right. It will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Want to kind of let everybody know, first of all, just kind of about your site and what you guys do. I mean, it's absolutely the best place. Must follow on Twitter for people that like the coaching carousel and all that. So, first of all, just kind of give fans who might not be familiar with Football Scoop exactly what you do and how'd you get into this?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So Football Scoop's been out there since 1999. A guy who was a graduate assistant at TCU at the time, you know, this is back when the kind of internet wasn't real big.
Right.
And he was calling around looking for a full-time job, and he was calling, you know, every, you know, Division I school in the country. And he was amassing this notebook of what jobs they were going to have coming open that year. And he said, you know, why don't I put that on the internet? That would help a lot of coaches because there's coaches everywhere doing what I'm doing. And the website has just continued to grow ever since. And in December of 07, he made head coach. And once he became a head coach, a college head coach, he kind of said, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he reached out to some friends who might be willing to buy it. I happened to be in the business of buying things like this at the time. Happened to be the fortunate guy who got to buy it. And so 7 years later, here I am, and I absolutely love what I do. You know, we try to just be an exceptionally positive resource for coaches. You know, try and be timely with what's really going on in the profession. We do put a lot of stuff on the website every day. There's a page called The Scoop that everybody goes to. But even more than what we put on the website, I have become kind of a vortex for college football coaches. They all call me, they all text me, and they say, hey, what's really going on here? Hey, this is what's happening at our place. What are you hearing at that place? And we just try to help. You know, we just try to be positive. We probably 6 years, 7 years ago, we started Coach of the Year Awards. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are a lot of Head Coach of the Year Awards that go to guys like Nick Saban. We decided to do Coach of the Year Awards for position coaches. So we do them for quarterbacks coaches, running backs coaches, defensive line coaches. And, you know, for example, Cool, you know, won Defensive Line Coach of the Year last year.
Right.
You know, we just try and shed a lot of positive light on everybody in the profession, you know, because there are a lot of guys who aren't in any way in this for the money. They're in this for it's their passion. It's what they want to do in life. It's a very noble undertaking by these guys, and I like to shine light on the good ones.
I'm very interested in kind of the inside baseball stuff. Do you consider your site and yourself more of like a news breaking media type outlet or more of, like you said, a resource for coaches?
Yeah, completely a resource for coaches. We almost never even we never ask for media credentials. Mm-hmm. Because that's not who we are. I do get invited to go to a lot of football games, and I'm almost always there as a guest of the coach. I don't do the press box. It's just because we're not there to report on the game. You know, we're there to watch and have fun and get to know these guys better. And then, you know, for example, there's the annual College Football Coaches Association that has their big convention in January every year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, media go there for one reason. We go there just to hang out with the guys and you know, further relations. And we basically just sit there and talk to these guys all day long and have a lot of fun getting to know them better. So that's what we do. We enjoy it a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I have been following the site since, almost back to about 2000. I think it's fascinating and want to get into this year. Obviously, Missouri, for the first time in 15 years, looking for a head coach. And just your impressions, first of all, what is this job today compared to the job it was when they hired Gary Pinkel?
Oh, I think it's worlds different. First of all, I think Gary is one of the truly exceptional college football coaches out there, and he will be missed for a long, long time. Did great things in Missouri. I mean, you identify Missouri football with Gary Pinkle. At least, you know, for the last, you know, this generation does for sure. And the last, you know, what, 5 years have been incredible. The results have been tremendous. Nobody expected them to come in and dominate the SECs like they have. You know, sure, it's a down year, but that's a bit short-sighted. I mean, the results, you know, last 5 years, last 10 years are really exceptional. And so he has elevated the program to a place where there's belief you could win a national championship. And it's demonstrated that you can win SEC East. And if you win the SEC East, you're in a, you know, one game playoff to win the SEC, then you're in the playoffs. And then you got a shot to win the whole thing. So there's a path to championships, and that's what coaches care about. That's what players care about.
Yeah, and like you said, you hear from a lot of coaches in the 5 or 6 days since this thing came open. Obviously, not specific guys, but what kind of questions or feedback have you gotten from coaches about how desirable this job will be?
I'll tell you, you know, very honestly, very candidly, just about every single coach I've spoken to about this job has asked me how bad it is with regards to the you know, racial and political
climate
situations going.
Right.
Yeah, the climate. It's there's concern out there. And the more I continue here, I heard it last night from a sitting head coach. You know, it's worrying me more and more about the ability or the speed with which Missouri will be able to select their next head coach.
So if you're Mack Rhodes, and I know, I understand he has to answer the question the way he did yesterday, which is I don't think this is going to hamper us at all, but if you're Mack Rhodes, how do you combat that? I said what I'd do is I'd put on the 5-minute postgame from BYU and say, do you think these kids view it as an issue? And hopefully that alleviates some concerns. But this is something he's going to have to answer every single guy he talks to, right?
I 100% believe he has to. I think he has to address it forthright. And I think there are some people who, you know, probably not the guys that he really thought he had a chance with anyway. But there's some guys who are going to pause before. Yeah, they are. It's a real life issue. You know, as a potential candidate, current, you know, head coach said to me last night, he says, Scott, the football team just got the president of the university fired. This is a problem. I'm like, yeah, I hear you. So this is not something that can be discounted. It really isn't.
Well, that's interesting. So, I mean, in the end, does this because I would think, unless it's Barry Odom, Missouri wants a guy who's been a head coach and maybe even a proven head coach. I mean, you know, I think we saw the power of the SEC a few years ago. I remember Arkansas hires Brett Bielema away from Wisconsin, and my reaction was, wow. Guys must really want to coach in this league. So if that's where Missouri started, are they, do you see him probably having to drop down a level, maybe from the expectations of the guy they think they can get?
I don't know they need to drop down their expectations. This is the SEC. I reached out to another sitting head coach last night and his to kind of gauge his interest. And his response was, this is the SEC. Are you kidding me? I'd love that job.
Yeah.
There's real appeal, and the very next follow-up was, his response was, I could win championships there, and that's what they care about.
Right?
Yeah. You know, people ask me all the time, what do coaches care about? Is it the ability to recruit players who can win championships, and they care about having a stable and supportive administration. But they definitely care more about the ability to win championships than they do about stable and supportive administration, but it comes up all the time. So, you know, that's Missouri's, you know, it doesn't check all the boxes right now, because of that other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to get one last thing on Missouri. Just want to kind of get your thoughts on a couple of the names that have been going around. You know, Mack Rhodes, every AD talks about fit. You can kind of describe that as any way you want to. A lot of people I've seen say Justin Fuente is a fit at Missouri. It's my information that Justin Fuente is probably not going to be super involved in this search, maybe by his choice. I posted that on our message board this morning. I'm hearing a lot of stuff that he's focused on other jobs. So I want your thoughts on Tom Herman. He's got 10 months of experience, but it's gone really well. And then on Barry Odom, and is he a guy that, whether it's Missouri or somewhere else, you see is going to get a head coaching offer somewhere this year?
You know, so I'll try to address all of those. I think fit is incredibly important. I think, for example, Lane Kiffin following Gary Pinkel makes no sense at all.
Right.
It isn't a fit. You know, Chad Morris is a great coach, is not a fit at Missouri. Sonny Dykes is a great coach, is not a fit. You know, there's just some things that, like, it just wouldn't work. I personally think Justin Fuente would be a great fit. I also have the same reservations that you talked about. It sounds like Justin might, you know, be willing to listen to some other ones before he'd be willing to listen to Missouri. I think Tom Herman has done an outstanding job, and obviously Mac hired him. So again, you just can't discount that possibility. With that said, I really believe Tom Herman's next 10-year aspiration is to be the head coach of the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that leaving the state of Texas to go to Missouri is the right step if what he really wants to be. And he's a pretty driven, pretty focused guy. If what he wants to be is the head coach of the University of Texas at some point in the next decade. So, you know, we'll see. Barry did an outstanding job at Memphis, very well liked, very well respected. His players love him. That's what, you know, that's the type of guy that does get drafted up to be a new head coach. Got to be the right destination for him. Memphis is, you know,
right.
is just waiting.
Yeah.
They don't want to lose Justin, but if so, you know, I've got to think he's the first call there. So I think that's very realistic. I'll tell you, you know, the one that a lot of coaches say to me that makes a lot of sense is a guy like Matt Campbell at Toledo from Missouri. Yeah, that's one that I think you might see come into play here. He's a guy that's beloved by his players, as positive of guys you can meet. Very, I don't want to say soft-spoken because that's not the right term, but perhaps – understated publicly, but really has a focus on what message he wants to deliver to his players, to his fan base, and it works. And he's a guy that's going to be on the rise, you know, geographically, you know, kind of makes some sense. Mm-hmm. No egos, that makes a huge amount of sense. I mean, you talk about fit, that's a good fit. Missouri, in my opinion.
It sounds a lot like the last guy Missouri hired from Toledo, which worked out okay. We're talking with Scott Russell from Football Scoop, and it's a good place to kind of jump off into the national stuff, because you mentioned Tom Herman, University of Texas, which is a job that suddenly seems like it might be open at the end of this year. But let's start with the ones that are open. There's really five kind of big ones that seem to come up in the conversation as these are the top five jobs that are open. I'll give you the way I'd rank them. Tell me if you disagree. USC is a clear number one. I think Virginia Tech's number two. I think coaches still view Miami probably as number three. I think Missouri's a better job than South Carolina. Maybe I'm biased, but I'd go Missouri four, South Carolina five.
I agree with you that USC is a clear number one out of those five. Thereafter, I think they're all two. And I think they're all their own respective two. I think you have a very different, you just have a different coaching pool for Missouri versus Miami. They're, mm-hmm. they're just completely different. I do think you might have some crossover between some of the interests at South Carolina and Virginia Tech to some degree. But really, these are all, they're all good jobs. You know, you're right. Talking about ACC, SEC, and every one of them has the resources and the ability to go win championships. So I don't think many of those five are fighting candidates, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
They have their own pools, and, you know, they're each one of their own. And they're all their own, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess there are some, and maybe I think that probably comes into play more at the mid-major level where they're fighting for the same guys. But usually, there's not an incredible amount. There's not as much crossover as you would think, you know, for various jobs. Anyway.
The most interesting part now is not the jobs that are open now, but could be open in 2 weeks. You guys wrote, and it is satire, but to some degree, but it's awesome, the coaching nuclear winter of everything that could happen. I mean, we could be realistically looking at a situation where Georgia, Texas, and maybe now talk about even LSU are opening. And I mean, that immediately changes everything. And maybe, like you said, there's no candidate crossover, but that immediately knocks programs like Missouri and South Carolina that you're thinking maybe it's the number two job open to now it's clearly no better than the number five job open.
Yeah. And some of those, if those were to open, you actually do have a lot of candidate crossover, especially at Georgia and LSU. You'd be fighting for potentially the same guy. In Jimbo Fisher. You know, so if jobs like that were to open, that's how things can get crazy, because that's when you could see the domino effect where let's either one of those, you know, Georgia or LSU opens and they want to hire, you know, some booster just says, here's the check, just go get Jimbo. So you hire Jimbo and that opens up something, and you know, somebody of substance, you know, goes to Florida State, opens up another sitting head job. So that's when it really can get crazy. And then there really is infighting for the assistants, because the assistants are really specialized in where they recruit real well and their relationships they have. And those are critical in being successful, especially early on. So, yeah, that's the stuff that gets crazy. You know, the funny part, that coaching nuclear winter article, we really just wrote for fun. Everybody was talking about how much, you know, how wild this year could be in the offseason. So we said, well, let's put pen to paper. And Zach and I are, you know, talking about that, and we talked to a bunch of coaches, a bunch of ADs about that. And, you know, he's like, Scott, I could get this thing to 60. I'm like, don't put it to 60. That's nuts. And, you know, he's like, you could put less miles in here. I'm like, don't put less miles in here. This is ridiculous. So, you know, we stopped short of Armageddon. But yeah, it was a fun article. If people have a chance to find that one, you'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah, and just kind of wrapping things up with you, what are your next – because most of these jobs aren't going to be filled, what, for probably 3 weeks, right? Most of these people are going to wait till after regular season or after conference title games. I mean, what are your next three weeks like? Is it just pretty much phone surgically attached to your ear?
You know, it really is. So this past Saturday, that's when a lot of the Division II, Division III seasons ended, those that didn't make the playoffs. So this week, I don't know what the number is, but there's probably been 15, you know, head coaching openings at that level. This upcoming Saturday, most of the FCS, you know, the old Division I AA, their season's in this Saturday. So then you'll have the same type of thing. You know, what, 130 teams, just kind of like same as in Division I, that play FCS ball. So you'll have the same kind of turnover there. It's usually not quite as big, but, you know, you'll probably see 10 teams. You know, have head coaching openings beginning next week. And then the Thanksgiving weekend, that's when, other than the conference championships, that's when most, you know, see guys that will be looking for jobs, that's when that happens. So that's traditionally, that's Black Monday in college football.
Right.
And that's also when recruiting is wide open. So they really, you know, if they can get these things done sooner rather than later, they like to, especially the place that's already made a move, like Miami, you know, that is open. I mean, they want to move as soon as they possibly can. It's just, you know, when can they get their guys together with, you know, the powers that be to sit down face to face and say, yep, this is our guy. And sometimes you can't do that during, you know, if you're going after a hot coordinator or even a, you know, a strong sitting head coach, you can't get him away until his last game. But they play Saturday at 3. They might be on a jet Saturday at 7 going to meet with these people. And you might have an agreement Saturday night at 11 or Sunday morning at, you know, at 10.
Yeah. Last thing for you, and because you're so familiar with this process, I want you to kind of walk fans of Missouri who haven't been through this. What is the process for Mac Rhodes? I mean, he's known about this for 2.5 weeks. So how much of the legwork has he already done? And do you think sitting today, he has a decent idea of, hey, these are 4 or 5 guys I need to talk to? And then Missouri season ends next Friday against Arkansas. What does he do for that next, whether it's 4 days or 40 days until he names a head coach? What's kind of behind the scenes process that an AD goes through?
So I'll tell you the good news and the bad news. The good news is he's known about this longer than all of us have. Right. You know, Gary said, you know, he told him in late October. So, yeah, he's had 3 weeks knowledge. So he should have been working on this all along. The bad news is I'm not sure he knows where to get his clarity and authority. You know, traditionally you go to your president and you say, here's my plan for the search. Can I get that blessed? The president says, yep, you're good to go with that plan. Well, in this case,
right?
You know, yeah, moving parts. And, you know, so how do you get that blessed? You know, so he's just got to make sure he understands that obviously he's new there. It's the first time he's doing this, you know, at this level, you know, for a football coach at Missouri. So he needs to understand that process and make sure he knows who has to be involved, who has to sign off before he can do anything. I absolutely think he knows his handful of candidates. I'd be very surprised if, you know, more than two or three others come up that he even considers. So once this news gets out, agents all call him and they say, listen, I'm sure you have guys in mind already, but I don't know if you thought about my guy. He's fantastic. So that happens and you got to listen because you might just not know about a guy. You might have no idea that he's interested. So you have to listen to those things. And then you go meet with him. And at that point, it's about fit. Dollars aren't going to be a problem here. I think they have the ability to pay whatever they need to pay. B, I think the guy they ultimately select is not going to be a big ego, big greedy, big pay me, you know, you got to pay me through the moon. So I don't think dollars are the issue. It's getting the powers that be together to meet the guy, the new face of Missouri football, and say, that's our guy. Let's sign him up. Typically, in a situation like this, without the racial climate, the political climate, typically I would say he'd probably be respectful of Gary, you know, let Gary get through his final game. And then he would have interviews lined up the following week and within 5 to 7 days have a new head coach. I just don't know. You know, there's that unknown out there with respect to these other issues outside of football that are bigger than football. So I just don't know that it gets done that fast. As a matter of fact, I'm worried that it won't.
Well, I'm worried that it won't too, Scott, because if it goes, say, more than December 10th, I may end up divorced. So, you know, the family members of the media following this make a great sacrifice during a coaching search.
You are absolutely right. And, you know, the one thing that I would encourage everybody to realize is a situation like this impacts a lot of people's families.
Right.
You know, we're joking about yours and mine. But imagine the assistants who now are in uncertain land, and uncertain land is a very bad place to be. Their wives, their kids, they might have to move. They might have to find a job. Something through no fault of their own, all of a sudden, they might be out of a job. So, you know, you have to be compassionate to that. And I would hope the fans recognize that and you know, do their best with that.
Absolutely. Well, Scott, I appreciate you taking the time, man. I know you're busy. Great stuff. And again, everybody needs to check out footballscoop.com because it's fun stuff this time of year.
I appreciate that, Gabe. Thanks. Stay in touch.
All right. Have a good one. Scott Russell, footballscoop.com. And really, guys, if there is a site I can recommend on the internet for the next month, that's it. I want you to get your Missouri stuff from Power Mizzou, but footballscoop.com, if you are interested in the coaching carousel, interested in the domino effect, interested in, okay, this job's open and that one's coming open, it's great. They do an unbelievable job. Follow them on Twitter. Just search Football Scoop. You'll find them pretty easily. Great stuff. And as it relates to Missouri, really pretty fascinating stuff from Scott Russell. And the reason I wanted to have him on, we all have our sources. I do. Everybody that follows Missouri, everybody that covers Houston, Virginia Tech, Memphis, whatever place we think is going to be impacted by this, we all have our sources. They're not the coaches. A candidate, Tom Herman's not calling me on the phone. You know, the agent for Barry Odom is not calling me on the phone to find out what I know. They're calling Scott Russell. Scott Russell's not talking to, you know, secondhand, third-hand information. He's talking to these guys. So when he tells you the climate on Missouri's campus is a question, it's a question. You can't argue it's a question. You can argue if you agree with that it should be or not. And again, I understand why Mac Rhodes had to answer the question the way he did yesterday. No, this isn't going to hamper us. That interview tells a lot different story. Whether it hampers them or not, I don't know. whether it comes up in every single interview Mac Rhodes does and every single conversation he has? Absolutely. Because like Scott said, a sitting head coach told him, this is a quote, "The football team just got the president of the university fired." And that's what happened at Missouri. And that's a question mark. And that's going to impact this search and impact Mac Rhodes' job for the next few weeks. And few weeks is the best timetable we can put. I think it's at least 3 weeks. I think it's at least after conference championship games. Beyond that, I don't know. Mac Rhodes probably does have his 3, 4, 5 guys that he wants to talk to. Probably has made some back channel contact with them. And we'll see where it goes from there as far as how many guys he actually interviews and if we ever find out about any of them. This could be run like Fort Knox and they parade a guy up and they're going to tell us he's their first choice and he's the only guy they talk to. May be true, may not be true. You know, we'll find out eventually down the road. And again, you know, apologize for not doing a lot of preview of the Tennessee game, but there is some of that on the website. We certainly will be covering it. But I wanted to get this chance before Scott gets insanely busy to have him on the podcast and have him kind of walk you guys through the process in the early stages, show you what it looks like, tell you what he's hearing, some of the guys he thinks could be a fit. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I think it was great stuff from Scott. We will be back. Well, actually, we may not be back on the podcast next week. Next week is Thanksgiving on Thursday. So if we do it, we're going to move it up to Wednesday and may preview Arkansas and Gary Pinkel's last game and all that. We'll do the best we can. Going to do the best we can also when this season is over to get Gary Pinkel on a podcast here. And, you know, the last week we've seen the human side of Gary Pinkel that we don't get to see very much. I'd love the chance to talk to Coach Pinkel here and kind of get some more of that, get him to open up a little bit. We'll see if it happens. No promises, but that certainly is our goal for the next few weeks after this thing all gets settled down. We'll be following the coaching search. We'll cover Mizzou, Tennessee. We'll cover Mizzou, Arkansas. I'll be in Kansas City for basketball games against Kansas State and then either North Carolina or Northwestern. We are all over the recruiting every single day. And kind of the fallout of what's going on. A lot of people in limbo right now. So, you know, busiest time I can remember in 13 years. Hope you guys enjoyed this. And we will be back either next week or the following week. Thanks for listening to the PowerMizzou.com podcast.